All right, let's dive in. Today, we're tackling Revelation.
Oh, Revelation.
We've got these excerpts from a lecture, and they're amazing, really, about how to interpret it. And it's amazing how much symbolism and mysterious numbers, historical context that people miss. So we'll unpack it all today so you can understand it in a new way.
What people often misunderstand that it's not supposed to be like a literal, like, play-by-play.
Ah, interesting.
Of future events. It uses symbols.
Interesting.
To give its message, almost like a dream.
Okay.
The images are, you know, vivid and sometimes unsettling.
Yeah.
But they're not meant to be taken literally.
So that makes sense. But how do we even start deciphering these symbols? It feels a bit overwhelming.
The lecture gave this three-step process.
Okay.
You first got to identify the symbol and its characteristics. Like, let's say a beast with, you know, 7 heads and 10 horns.
Okay. Yeah, that's a striking image.
Right.
What's next?
You then figure out the symbol's meaning.
Okay.
Like, what concepts does it represent?
Okay.
So the beast probably symbolizes, you know, evil, chaos, destructive power.
So not just a literal monster. We're trying to get the Duper idea.
Exactly.
That makes sense. How do we connect those ideas to something concrete?
That's the third step, what the symbol refers to in the real world.
Got it.
And this is where history's crucial.
Yeah. Yeah.
To the early Christians, that beast was probably the Roman Empire.
Wow. So it had a real impact on them.
Absolutely.
It's like a political cartoon using imagery to critique those in power.
Exactly.
So this can help us with other strange images, right? Like,
yeah.
What about those locusts with human faces and scorpion tails?
Yeah.
They sound like a horror movie.
They might represent demonic forces causing chaos and destruction.
Right. That's way more helpful than creepy crawlies.
Sure.
Then there are those two witnesses who die and come back to life.
Right.
What's the meaning there?
The witnesses probably symbolize
the
church itself standing for truth, even when persecuted.
Yeah.
And them rising again represents good winning over evil and the hope that God's people will win in the end.
It's amazing how much is packed into those symbols. It really makes you appreciate how complex an artistic revelation is.
Absolutely.
But it's not just the images, right?
No.
The numbers seem to have a hidden language, too.
We can't take them at face value.
Okay.
They're not literal quantities or timelines. They're symbols.
Right.
Each one means something special.
Like 7.
Yes.
That's everywhere in Revelation.
7 means perfection and completeness.
Got it.
It's like God's perfect creation, you know?
Okay.
7 days.
Yeah.
And His total authority. So 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 bowls all mean the completeness of his judgment and his plan unfolding.
That makes so much more sense. It's not random.
Right.
It points to deeper theological truths. What about 12?
Oh, 12.
Yeah, that one's there a lot too.
12 often represents God's people. Going back to the 12 tribes of Israel and the apostles.
Right, right.
So like multiples of 12.
Yeah.
Like 144,000. Means all God's people being gathered together.
So not a head count, but like the whole people of God.
Exactly.
What about 3.5?
Oh, 3.5.
Yeah, it's in some pretty intense parts.
3.5 means a short, intense time.
Okay.
Cut off before it's finished.
Got it.
Like a time of trouble, but limited.
Yeah.
Like the church's tough but temporary life.
Okay.
In a world that's against its message.
So even in suffering, God's in control and His plan will win.
Right.
Even 1,000, which a lot of people think is about a literal millennium, actually has a symbolic meaning in Revelation, right?
1,000 doesn't mean a time frame, but more like completeness, a perfect time.
Okay.
It points to perfect peace where God's will is done fully.
Okay. So we've got symbols and secret number codes.
Right.
It's like a biblical thriller.
It is.
But to really get Revelation, we need the historical context, right?
Absolutely.
It's like trying to get Shakespeare without knowing Elizabethan England.
Perfect analogy.
To really grasp it.
Yes.
We need to go back to those early Christians who first read it.
You're exactly right.
This book was written when there was huge pressure.
Yes.
On those who followed Jesus under Roman rule.
It was a tough time.
And Rome wasn't just political.
Yeah.
It mixed politics, economics, and religion.
It did.
Which must have been really tough for Christians.
Absolutely.
Right. So even daily life could put them in hard situations.
Yes.
They couldn't avoid the Roman system.
Not really, no.
Taking part in Roman society often meant doing things. that one against their beliefs. It was like a constant balancing act.
Right? It was.
Do they compromise to fit in or stand strong and risk the consequences?
Exactly.
That must have created so much tension.
Definitely.
It makes you wonder what you'd do in their shoes.
Yes.
Would you stand up for your faith even if it meant losing everything?
It's a powerful question.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Revelation addresses.
Wow.
It comforts those who are being persecuted, saying that God sees their suffering and will make things right.
Yeah.
But it also warns those who are tempted to compromise.
Right.
To fit in.
So it's both hope and resistance together.
Absolutely.
It's like a letter from a friend who gets what you're going through.
Yes.
And offers both encouragement and a challenge to stay true.
Exactly.
But how can we be sure we're interpreting it right?
That's a great question.
With all these symbols and the historical context, it seems like it'd be easy to get it wrong.
If an interpretation wouldn't have made sense to them back then, it's probably not right.
So we can't just force our modern ideas onto it.
Right.
We have to understand it on its own terms.
Absolutely.
Revelation was a letter to specific groups facing specific problems.
Yeah.
It was meant for them to understand and apply.
Exactly.
The lecture even said that unlike Daniel, who was told to seal up his prophecies,
right,
John is told not to seal up Revelation because the time is near.
The time is near.
So it was for immediate use, not some far-off future.
Exactly.
If we try to make it fit modern events or leaders,
right,
we're missing the point completely.
You're getting it.
No decoding microchips or hidden messages about today's politicians.
Nope.
But understanding the history helps us avoid those mistakes and appreciate the text for what it is.
And it challenges us to think how those early Christians lived their faith.
Yeah.
In a hostile world.
Right.
And what we can learn from their courage.
What stands out to you about the historical context?
Rough.
For me, it's that even with pressure to conform,
mm-hmm.
they held on to their beliefs.
It's amazing.
That's incredible courage.
Yes.
It makes me think about what I'd stand up for.
It is a question for all of us.
What about you? What strikes you?
It's that their faith wasn't just personal.
Hmm.
It had social and political effects.
Yeah.
Not joining in certain Roman things was seen as challenging the empire.
Wow.
Their faith was a kind of resistance.
It's really something thinking about what they faced and how Revelation gave them both comfort and a call to action.
It is.
It makes you think faith isn't just what you believe.
Right.
It's how those beliefs shape how you act.
It really is.
But speaking of understanding,
yes,
the lecture talked about something that might seem technical, but it's really important.
Okay.
It's about really digging into words when you're trying to get Revelation.
Word studies.
Yeah, word studies.
Absolutely crucial.
It's not enough to just grab a dictionary.
Right.
And assume we know what it meant back then.
You can't do that now.
Words have histories, right?
Yes, they do.
Your meanings change over time.
Shift. Sometimes drastically.
So we kind of got to become linguistic detectives.
That's a good way to put it.
Digging into the etymology and how those words were used to uncover their meaning.
It's an excavation.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And the lecture laid out
a
three-stage process
for
doing these word studies that can really unlock the richness of the language.
The layers of meaning.
First stage is choosing a word that's key.
Right.
One that shows up a lot. Maybe it seems confusing or carries a lot of theological weight.
Makes sense.
Okay, so we've got our word. What's next?
Next, you got to explore all the ways that word could be used.
Okay.
Like mapping out its history and contexts.
Yeah.
That's where concordances come in.
Right.
And dictionaries focused on biblical languages.
Ah, so we can't just rely on a modern dictionary.
No, not for this.
We got to dive into those historical nuances.
He's got it.
Exactly. And once we understand the word's potential meanings,
then
we go to what seems like the most important part.
Okay.
Figuring out what the author meant
in
that specific passage.
In context.
It's like those logic puzzles, right?
Uh-huh.
You got to eliminate possibilities to find the right answer.
Exactly.
And the lecture highlighted some traps to avoid.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Things that can trip us up if we're not careful.
Pitfalls, yeah.
Oh, I'm all ears. I'm sure I've made plenty of mistakes myself.
We all have.
When it comes to understanding the Bible, what are some of those pitfalls?
One common one is what we call the etymological fallacy.
The what?
Etymological fallacy.
Okay.
It's when you think a word's meaning now
is
the same as its historical or root meaning.
Okay.
It's tempting, but it can lead you down the wrong path.
So just because we know where a word came from,
yes,
doesn't mean we know how it's being used in a specific text.
We need the context.
It's like thinking that nice originally meant foolish,
right,
means someone complimenting you is insulting you.
That would lead to misunderstandings.
Yeah.
Context is key. Another trap is overloading a word.
Okay.
Cramming in every possible meaning we find.
Okay.
Context helps us narrow down the meaning.
Right.
You can't just shove every definition in there.
It's like trying to pack all your clothes
right
into a way too small suitcase.
Exactly.
Something's got to get left out.
Yeah.
And it might be the most important thing.
And then you have to be careful not to confuse a word with a whole theological concept.
Okay.
A word might seem theologically important.
Yeah.
But you can't assume it's the whole concept.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look at the bigger picture.
Got it.
To see how the author's using it with other ideas.
So it's like one piece of a puzzle. It matters, but doesn't tell the whole story.
It's part of a bigger picture.
We got to see how it fits to get the full picture.
Precisely.
These pitfalls remind us word studies need careful attention.
Yes.
And being willing to let the text speak for itself.
It's about listening.
We can't just force our own ideas onto the words.
Right.
It's like being a respectful guest, right?
Mm.
You listen to what they have to say.
Yeah.
And try to understand their view.
Right.
Not just talk over them or project your own ideas.
Beautiful way to put it.
Yeah.
And that respect applies to Revelation, too.
Yeah.
It's a tough book.
Mm.
But with careful study, willingness to learn,
yeah,
and humility, we can uncover its message of hope.
So we've covered a lot.
Yes, ma'am.
Exploring its symbolic language.
Yes.
Decoding those numbers.
It's
and getting a handle on the historical context.
Context is key.
Plus a crash course in word studies.
Important stuff.
I gotta admit, I feel a lot more ready to tackle this book now.
That's great to hear.
It's amazing what clarity we get when we have the right tools.
Absolutely.
And a curious mind. And one thing that stuck with me is that Revelation wasn't just for those early Christians.
Right.
It speaks to us now, too.
And it does.
It reminds us, even though we face different things,
yeah,
that core message of hope and standing strong when things are hard is timeless.
It really is.
Absolutely. Revelation calls us to be faithful.
Yes.
Even when it's tough.
Yeah.
And hold on to that promise that God's in control.
He is.
Working everything for good. It's a message that hits home.
It does.
Especially in a world with so much injustice and pain.
So much suffering.
It reminds us we're not alone.
No.
And that even in the darkest times, there's hope.
There's always hope.
I find it fascinating how Revelation is so rooted in its time.
Yes.
And yet eternally relevant to everyone, everywhere.
It transcends cultures and eras.
It speaks to the human experience.
Ditto.
It's a testament to the power of Scripture.
Yes.
To offer guidance across generations.
It speaks to us all.
We've only scratched the surface, though.
That's true, we have.
But hopefully, this deep dive gives you a solid base.
A good foundation.
To build on.
Yes.
Like we've given you a map and compass.
That's a great image.
To keep exploring Revelation yourself.
Keep exploring.
I feel like we've been given like a key or something,
yeah,
to unlock a whole new way of understanding Revelation.
Yeah.
It's not this, you know, closed off book anymore.
Right.
But a message of hope.
Yes.
Woven with all these symbols and history.
And it's a message that asks us to really engage, wrestle with the hard parts,
yeah,
and let its promises change us.
One thing that keeps hitting me,
okay,
is how easy it is to get lost in the details.
It's easy to do.
Especially with all those descriptions and numbers.
It's a common trap.
Yeah.
Getting caught up in figuring out each symbol,
yeah,
or the exact timing of everything.
Right, right.
But Revelation isn't about giving us a timeline of the future.
So it's not about that, okay.
It's about showing God's victory over evil. And encouraging his people to keep going, even when it's hard.
So we should be looking at the big picture.
Yes.
Not the small stuff.
The big picture.
Those themes of hope.
Yes.
Resistance.
Yes.
And God ruling with justice and peace.
That's it.
Exactly. It's like if you're looking at a huge tapestry.
Okay.
Up close, you just see the threads.
Yeah.
You miss the whole design.
The beauty of it all.
But if you step back,
yes,
you see the artistry and power of the whole thing.
That's a great way to put it.
It makes me think about those seven trumpets and bowls.
Right.
It's easy to get stuck on what each plague means.
Easy to do.
But the point is, they symbolize God's judgment on a system that's oppressive.
Yes.
And him saving his people.
It's a story we see over and over.
Yeah.
From the Israelites leaving Egypt.
Right.
The promise of a new heaven and earth.
Yeah.
Where things are right and just.
So as we dig into Revelation more.
Yes.
We should keep those big themes in mind.
Absolutely.
To guide us and keep us from getting lost.
And don't forget, there's help out there.
Okay.
Commentaries from scholars.
Yeah.
Who spent years studying Revelation.
Right.
They can offer insights.
Okay.
And help you through the tough parts.
It's like having a guide, right?
Yes.
Leading you through somewhere new.
Exactly.
They show you landmarks,
mm-hmm.
warn you about dangers.
Yeah.
And help you see the beauty and richness.
It's a journey.
And probably the best advice.
Okay.
Is to approach Revelation with humility.
Humility, yes.
Don't be too rigid in your views.
Right.
Be open to different ways of seeing it.
Be open.
No one has all the answers.
No one does.
And there's always more to learn.
Always learning.
That's so important to remember. It's easy to get fixated on our own take.
Yes, it is.
And forget others might see things differently.
Different perspectives.
Humility helps us learn from each other
yeah.
and deepen our understanding.
It does.
Revelation isn't a puzzle to be solved.
No.
But a mystery to be explored.
Explore the mystery.
It asks us to face its challenges.
Yes.
Wrestle with its questions
mm.
and let its message change us. I think that's a perfect way to wrap things up.
I agree.
We've covered so much.
We have.
And I hope you feel ready to keep digging into Revelation.
Keep exploring.
With a new outlook and a sense of
wonder.
Yeah.
Remember, this journey of understanding never ends.
Mm.
Keep asking those questions. Seek guidance.
Yeah.
And let Revelation challenge and inspire you.
So as you go deeper into this powerful book,
yes.
think about how its message of hope and standing strong
mm-hmm.
resonated with those early Christians under Roman rule.
They needed that message.
And ask yourself how that same message speaks to you today.
Yes.
As we face our own challenges and injustices.
We all face them.
May exploring Revelation lead you to a deeper understanding
yeah.
of God's love.
His love.
His power.
And his power.
And his promise to bring about a world of justice and peace.
It's a beautiful promise.
And that's a wrap on our deep dive into Revelation.
Thanks for joining us.
We'll see you next time for another exciting exploration of ideas that matter.